Okay, good morning. Nice to see all of you here. Those of you who are joining us on Zoom, unfortunately, you can't see us, but you'll be able to hear us this morning. The video isn't working. The camera, for whatever reason, is not working this morning. And I think the camera is also on vacation, like everyone else. The camera's on vacation, but at least we have the audio going. And I'm being a little silly this morning, but the truth is, this morning's topic is quite serious. Because as you all know, since the beginning of August, and it's only, what, the 17th of the month, 23 Israelis have lost their lives in traffic accidents. 23 in just 2 weeks. I'm sure you all saw the reports. It's just awful, awful. And so far this year, 230 Israelis have been killed on the roads here in the state of Israel. Each year, hundreds of Israelis lose their lives in fatal traffic accidents. Things had gotten better. State of Israel heavily invested in education and road safety awareness in an attempt to encourage drivers to be a little more attentive on the roads. But unfortunately, the last few years have seen a dramatic rise. I think since 2018, 2019, it's been a dramatic rise and increase in road fatalities. And so this morning, I'd like to explore together with you road safety and etiquette through the lens of halacha. And we'll begin with an example or one place where Chazal teach road safety, the story of Yosef ve'Echav, Yosef and his brothers. And here, if you take a look at source number one, this is after Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and they have this dramatic reunion, this tearful reunion. Yosef sends his brothers back to the land of Israel with wagons and with gifts and asks them to bring Yaakov Avinu with them back down to Egypt. And one of the things he tells them, here, look at Pasuk Chav Dalet. This is Breishit Perek Memhei, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Yosef tells his brothers, Al Tirgizu Badarech. Al Tirgizu Badarech. What does that mean? Do not become agitated along the way. What is Yosef trying to tell his brothers? So if you take a look at Rashi, there here, it's source number two. Chazal offer, Rashi's drawing on the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit and Daf Yud, and the Medrash in Breishit Rabba there. And Rashi writes the following, Al titasku bidvar halacha. Don't get involved in a matter of halacha. Shlo tirgaz aleichem haderech. So that you don't, you know, lose your way, become agitated, become unsteady. Davar acher, another interpretation, al tafsiu psia gasa, v'ikansu b'chama la'ir. Don't take long strides, meaning don't travel too quickly, don't run, and v'ikansu b'chama la'ir, and enter the city when the sun is still out, right? And the simple pshat, Rashi continues and explains, ulefi pshuto shel mikra yesh lomar, lefi shayu nichlamim hayadoeg. The simple pshat is, in this pasuk, al tirgazu, or al tirgazu badarech, Yosef is telling them, you know, I don't want you to be distracted, because he was concerned, according to the simple pshat, that they were embarrassed, they were ashamed of what they had done here. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and I'm sure for them it invokes all of these memories of what had happened. And he was concerned. Hayadoeg, Yosef was really legitimately concerned. Shema yarivu vaderech al dvar mechirato. That the brothers might start fighting while they're traveling, while they're on the road, about selling him. Litvakech zeim zeh. They're going to argue one with the next. Vilomar al yad chanimkar. And they're going to blame each other. Say, he was sold because of you. Atasiparta lashon hara alav. You spoke lashon hara about him. Vigaramta lanu lisin oto. And you caused us to hate him. So the simple pshat is, Yosef tells them, al tirgizu baderech. You know, don't become agitated. Don't get distracted, because he was legitimately concerned that they were going to start fighting in the car, right? This is something we all know, right? Something happens and you get back into the car and everyone starts fighting and arguing with each other, right? Instead of focusing on the road. Right? I'm sure doesn't apply to any of us here, right? Never happened before. Okay. But that's what the simple pshat is. But Chazal here are, I think, teaching three very important lessons of road safety. Three very, very important lessons here. First of all, he tells them, don't get involved in a matter of halacha, even if it's something important. Even if it's something important like Torah study, but it can be distracting, right? Don't become distracted while on the road, even for something important. How many times have people said, someone's on the, you know, they're looking at their phone. Well, what are you doing? Put down your phone, put your hands on the wheel, put your eyes on the road, right? I've had to tell taxi drivers this many times. I put down the phone, put your hands on the wheel. Oh, but it's an important text message, or it's an important email, or this phone call's important. I'll just be a moment. I'll just be 2 moments. I mean, since the advent of cell phones and the popularity of smartphones, you know, everyone has a smartphone today, it's caused so many traffic accidents. You know, people have them in their hands, they're looking down at them, you know, and they get distracted. So even for something important like Torah study, right? Yosef, through the eyes of Chazal, tell his brothers, don't become distracted even for a moment, even for something important, like that important phone call or that important text message or WhatsApp. Okay? And then what does he tell them? He says, don't take long strides. Don't run. Don't drive quickly. Don't speed. Okay? Chazal, again, are saying that Yosef is telling his brothers, don't speed. Chazal are teaching such important lessons here. And then finally, v'achnisu cham al ha'ir, right? Make sure you enter the city while it's still daylight. Meaning, be extra cautious when traveling at night when visibility is reduced. There's some statistic. They say that most traffic accidents occur during dusk. You know, as it's getting dark, when visibility is reduced, people don't have their lights on yet. Their eyes are still adjusting to the dark. Okay? So life and preservation of life is so central to Judaism, of course. Right? Life, the preservation of life takes precedence over all the mitzvot of the Torah, pikuach nefesh, right? The Chai Bahem, the Torah says in Parshat Acharemot, here in source number 3, Vayikra Peruk Yudchet Pasukei, Ushmartem et chukutai vet mishpatai, Asher yaseo tamadam, you should observe, safeguard, watch my laws, my statutes, v'chai bahem, and live by them. And Chazal in a number of places, the Gemara in Yoma and in Sanhedrin say v'chai bahem v'lo she'amud bahem, live by them and not die by them. And of course, Chazal teach that, again, this mitzvah of the preservation of life takes precedence over all the other mitzvot HaTorah, right? Except for 3. And the Gemara in Yoma talks about eating on Yom Kippur and desecrating the Sabbath for the preservation of life. Okay, so we know that life is so precious and it's so central. This idea, this mitzvah to preserve life is so central. And take a look at source number 4. This is a pasuk or psukim that we read just this past Shabbat in Parashat Va'etchanan. Dvarim Perek Dalid, Pasuk Tet, Rak Hishamer Lecha, Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. You shall, what the Torah says, take utmost care and guard your soul exceedingly. Now here the Torah is talking about your spiritual health and well-being, right? Spiritual safety, if you will. That's the simple pshat, right? The Torah says, you know, you shall be careful lest you forget these things that your eyes saw and your heart will stray. And you have to remember how you stood before me at Har Sinai, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is really a warning against straying from the Torah. And then skip to Pasuk Tetvav, V'nishmartem me'od l'nafshotechem. Again, the Torah uses this language exceedingly. You shall exceedingly guard your souls. I mean, how many psukim in the Torah, how many mitzvot say me'od? Okay? It's not for nothing that the Torah uses the language ma'od to emphasize. This is important. Now, again, v'nishmartem ma'od l'nafshotechem, the simple pshat there is your spiritual health. You shall exceedingly guard your soul. Ki lo ritem kol tmuna b'yom diber Hashem elokechem b'chorev mitoch ha'eshen. We're concerned about, and the psukim continue, we're concerned about idolatry. So, again, the simple pshat is to exceedingly guard yourself from let's say, spiritual danger. But the Gemara here in source number 5 in Brachot, Anaf Lamed Bet Lamed Gimel, understand this pasuk or these psukim. Rak Yishamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od, and the pasuk of V'nishmartem Ma'od L'Nafshoteichem, also to refer to one's physical safety. The simple pshat is, you know, take utmost care and watch your soul exceedingly and guard yourself, your soul exceedingly, your spiritual health and well-being. But Chazal apply these psukim to also refer to one's physical health. And if you take a look here at the story, the Gemara tells in the bottom of Daf Lamed Bet, here it's in source number 5. Okay. And just to give you a little context, the Gemara there is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that afilu ha-melech shoel bishlomo lo yishivenu. Even if a king inquires as to your welfare, you're not allowed to interrupt your shmona esrei, your tefillah, your amidah, to answer a king. However, the Gemara comes along and qualifies that. Amar Rav Yosef lo shenu ela l'malchei Yisrael. This was only taught with regards to a Jewish king who's going to see you davening and understand why you're not answering him. And he's not going to put you to death. Aval malchei umot ha'olam posek. However, Rav Yosef explains that if it's a Gentile king, of course you interrupt the Amidah. Right? After all, it's b'kuach nefesh. We just said v'chai behem v'lo she'amut behem. B'kuach nefesh trumps tefillah. Tefillah, at best, is only midrabanan. And even if you hold this famous machloket Rambam, Ramban, is prayer from the Torah? Is it rabbinic? Right? Even if you hold that it's from the Torah, that prayer is mida oraita, but the Amidah was instituted by the rabbis, right? So that's a much larger discussion beyond the scope of our class this morning. But it's on that Mishnah where the Mishnah says that even if a king comes and inquires of your welfare and you're in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, you're not to interrupt. And Rav Yosef says that was taught with regards to was taught with regards to a Jewish king, right? Rabbi Yosef qualifies the mission and says, with a Gentile king, of course you interrupt. And that, of course, is the halacha. And then the Gemara here relates the following story here in source number 5. And I bring this story to just illustrate the point that these psukim, rak yishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od and v'nishmartem ma'od l'nafshoteichem, in the eyes of Chazal, are not only about your spiritual health and safety, but they're also about your physical health and safety. That's how Chazal understood them. And this story illustrates that. Tanu Rabbanan, my rabbis taught in a braita, ma'aseh b'chassid echad. It once happened with a certain pious person. I think it's interesting that the Talmud calls him a pious person. There's a concept of a chassid shoteh, of a pious fool, or someone with, let's call it, misplaced piety, and perhaps that's the case here. Shamit palal baderech, who was praying along the way while traveling. Ba hegemon echad. And some officer, Roman officer came to him, v'natan lo shalom, and he gave him shalom. He said hello, v'lo hichzir lo shalom. And this chassid didn't return the greeting. Why? Because this chassid was in the middle of his amidah. Himtin lo ad shesiyem tfilato. So the Roman officer waited until he finished his amidah. L'char shesiyem tfilato amar lo, reka. So once he finished his amidah, he took his 3 steps back, right? And so he says, 3 steps back, right? He says, Reka, empty one, right? Like you're empty of wisdom, maybe. He calls him an empty one. V'alo katuv b'toratchem, is it not written in your Torah? Rak yishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha? You shall take utmost care and guard yourself exceedingly. Again, the pasuk that we read this past Shabbat, right? Uchtiv, and it's written, v'nishmartem me'od l'nafshoteichem, right? Another pasuk we read this past Shabbat, take exceedingly care of yourself. So you see, Chazal use these psukim, right? Not only in their simple context, where it's talking about guarding yourself from strength from the Torah, guarding yourself spiritually, but physically too, right? Is it not written in your Torah, these psukim? Kishenatati lecha shalom. Lama lo echzarta li shalom? When I gave you shalom, when I said hello, when I greeted you, why didn't you respond? Imayiti chotek roshcha b'sayif, mi haya tovea
et damcham yadi. If I would cut your head off now with a sword, would anyone hold me accountable for your blood? Meaning, you deserved it for not following the halacha. The halacha is, if a Gentile king or someone who can sentence you to death interrupts you while you're in the middle of the Amidah, you're supposed to interrupt and answer. Amar lo. So this chassid said to him, Hamtein li ad she'afayscha bidvarim. You know, give me a minute. Let me first appease you with my words. Maybe I'll explain to you what I was doing. Okay, and you'll see why I did what I did. He's trying to rationalize it. Amar lo. So he said to him, Ilu hayita omeid lifnei melech basar v'dam uvacha vercha v'natan lecha shalom hayita machzir lo. Amar lo lav. If you stood. He's telling this to this Roman officer. If you stood in front of a king of flesh and blood, and your friend came along and said hello to you, offered you a greeting, would you answer him? Amar lo, he answered, of course not. Lav. V'imayita machzir lo, mayo osim lecha. And had you responded to your friend, what would the king do to you? Amar lo. So he said to him, hayu chotchim et roshi b'sayif. They would cut off my head with a sword, right? Which is what he said he was going to do to him. Amar lo. So the chassid says to this Roman officer, "Valo dvarim kal v'chomer, are the matters not a kal v'chomer?" So you see, this Roman officer is a shtickle talmid chacham, right? First, he's quoting psukim from the Torah, from Parashat Vayetchanan, which we read this past Shabbat, which he knew baal peh, right? Now, this chassid is giving him a kal v'chomer, right? A fortiori inference or reasoning, right? I recently taught my 11-year-old about a kal v'chomer. We were learning. So we gave different examples of sports teams. You know, if team X is better than Y, right? And Y is better than Z. So certainly team X is better than Z. Anyway, we had fun. So he gives him this kal v'chomer. He says, so imagine, Uma atash shahayita omed lifnei melech basar v'dam shayom kan umachar bakever kach ani shahayiti omed lifnei melech malchem lachim hakadosh baruch hu shehu chai v'kayam la'ad ul'omei olamim al achat kama v'chama. So he says to imagine that's how you would behave before a king of flesh and blood who is here today and gone tomorrow. Today he's alive and tomorrow he's in the kever, he's in the grave. I'm standing before the King of Kings, God, the Holy One, blessed be he. Okay, who is here forever? He's chai v'kayam la'ad ul'omei olamim. He's eternal. Alachad kama v'chama. All the more so, right? I can't interrupt my conversation with the King of Kings. So this time he got off. This chassid. This time he was lucky. But the truth is, that's not the halacha. No, this time, okay, he was able to explain his way out of the situation. But the halacha is, if there's someone who has the power of life and death in their hands and they want to talk to you when you're in the middle of the Amidah, you stop and speak to them because pikuach nefesh is doche, all the mitzvot of the Torah, except for three, as we said. Okay? So again, it's significant, and I bring this story, this anecdote, this amusing anecdote from the Gemara and Brachot to just illustrate the point that you see how Chazal used these psukim or understood these psukim to instruct a person to be careful with guarding his physical safety. Okay. And these psukim are important because there's a volume, the seventh volume of Yechaveh Dat, newly published seventh volume, came out a couple of years ago in Tufshin Pei, recently published seventh volume of the Tshuvot of Rav Avadya Yosef, his famous Yechaveh Dat, very important work of responsa. And there, in the back, he has this kuntris, this monograph, which is solely devoted to the topic of road safety and etiquette. And this kuntris collects a number of tshuvot and articles and letters and statements that Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal, was my neighbor in Har Nof, made over the years, tshuvot that he wrote and articles and letters and things he said about road safety and etiquette. All about how one is obligated to drive safely and be so careful according to the Torah. And a number of places, Rav Avadya, you know, draws on these psukim that we read last Shabbat and says, look, Chazal used these psukim to teach how a person has to be so careful, not just with their spiritual health and safety and well-being, but with their physical health and their physical safety as well. Okay? And he writes that it's, you know, you see how important Jewish life is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm quoting him. I went through this kuntris, a lot of beautiful articles and tshuvot and statements on road safety and etiquette. You see how Jewish life is so precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he uses the lashon of me'od. Rak yishamer lecha u'shmor nafshecha me'od, v'nishmartem me'od lenafshotecha. Okay, and he cites many different examples from the Talmud and from the Poskim, where you see we're lenient with regards to pikuach nefesh, saving a life, even when we are in doubt. We say that safek nefashot lahakel. We are lenient when it comes to pikuach nefesh, even if it's a safek, even if we don't know. Person passes out in shul. Happened to me a couple of times. I was a rabbi in Omaha, Nebraska. I was a rabbi in Connecticut before we made Aliyah. And unfortunately, it happened a few times. You know, I didn't wait to see if the individual was really ill. An older person passes out in shul. You pick up the phone immediately and you call the ambulance. You don't wait. You don't take any chances when it comes to pikuach nefesh. Safek nefashot lahakel. Right? You know, how much did we invoke this over the past 2 years with the pandemic? But, you know, it's funny. I tell the story. I was a newly minted rabbi. I was the associate rabbi of the Orthodox shul in Omaha, Nebraska. And they define orthodoxy a little bit differently in the Midwest, right? So someone, an older person, passed out in shul. And I don't remember, it was a Shabbos or a Yontif. So I immediately ran into, I don't know if it was my office or the kitchen, to get on the phone and call 911. And at the time I was, you know, thinking, you know, the rabbi, as the Rambam writes, it's the rabbi who's supposed to teach his community about the importance of pikuach nefesh and how you don't wait. And it's the rabbi who's supposed to be mechallel Shabbat to set an example, right? And it's based on Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says that, you know, Yerushalmi indicts one who has to ask a shayla, you know, rabbi, should we be mechallel Shabbat? If, you know, don't ask, do, right? And the Yerushalmi also indicts the one, the nishal, the one who is asked, the rabbi, meaning the rabbi who is asked the question is guilty. Why is he guilty? Because he obviously did not teach his community. You don't ask, you call 911. So yeah, I'm feeling all good about myself. You know, the Rambam, based on the Yerushalmi, says that it's the rabbi who's supposed to be mechallel Shabbat in order to teach an example. And I get on the phone with 911, and they're like, oh yes, thank you, we've already gotten the call. I didn't even have the call. It was completely unnecessary. And then I remembered that, yes, there are people sitting in shul, unfortunately, or maybe in this case, fortunately, with cell phones in their pocket. Not all of them were doctors, okay? You know, again, they define orthodoxy a little bit differently. In the Midwest, it was not uncommon for someone to get a call in the middle of shul, and you hear the phone ring. And they pick it up. And again, not a doctor, not an emergency, not pikuach nefesh. They pick it up and they say, can I call you back? We're in the middle of Musaf. Or can I call you back? We're in the middle of Torah reading. I'm about to be called up for an aliyah. Okay. Anyway, so I'm being silly, but this is obviously a very serious matter. So Rav Avadia writes that, you know, pikuach nefesh takes precedence, of course, over serious Torah prohibitions like chilul Shabbat, like eating on Yom Kippur, in order to stress the importance of preserving one's health and safety. And in fact, I mean, that's the source of this whole discussion. The Gemara, the Mishnah, at the end of Masechet Yomah, and the Gemara at the end of Masechet Yomah, how we feed a sick person on Yom Kippur. Okay, as I said, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, we've seen how important this mitzvah is. So Rav Avadia there cites a tshuva of the Rosh, which we'll take a look at in a moment, who rules that one is not permitted to race his horse in the public thoroughfare, right, down a street. I mean, you know, nowadays you don't see too many people racing horses, you know, down the street, unless maybe they're the Yisamnikim, you know, Israeli police with those big horses, because you might not be able to control your horse or stop your horse in time, and you might cause damage to person or property. Okay, so take a look at this tshuva here, source number 6. Sheila, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us, Rabbi. Chatan sheyotze michupato, The derech shiotzin imo re'av krovav chutz la'ir. V'kach asu shiotzu imo umehem rochvin basusim umehem bapradim. Okay, so he says the minag was
that chatan would leave the wedding, he would leave the chuppah on horseback. Right? You can imagine the wedding procession. The Rush is being described the situation. It was the custom that the wedding procession would be following the chuppah, the chatan and all of his groomsmen, right? All of his buddies, right? His best man, whatever. They would ride on horses and on mules.
So the chatan, of course, would go first. And then the wedding procession would follow. And what happened?
Okay? And what happened? Someone from the wedding party, he raced his horse, and his horse crashed into the horse of, or the mule, rather, the mule, the donkey that the chatan was going on, and caused damages in the amount of 300 gold coins. That's a lot of money. You can imagine it's a lot of money back then. Okay. So what happened? Okay. So the individual who was racing his horse, I guess he was all excited in his exuberance, right? You know, Mazel Tov, they're singing Odia, the band's playing Odia Shema, and this guy's racing his horse, and he crashes into the chatan's mule or donkey. And by the way, you know, a lot of times you see accidents at unfortunate smachot, at weddings, and smachot, people are taking things, you know, they're getting a little too wild. The Gemara in Brachot actually says that the Chachamim saw that one time the wedding was getting out of hand, people weren't behaving properly, and they smashed an expensive glass, they smashed an expensive kli in order to sober up the audience. And that, by the way, is one of the explanations of the chatan breaking the glass under the chuppah, or the custom of the mothers of the chatan and kala to break a plate. Okay, there are different reasons behind those customs given. In any case, one is that it should sober up the audience. You know, realize that don't go out of hand. Yes, we're celebrating, right? V'samachta bechagecha v'ita ach sameach. Ach always comes to limit, right? Even on our festive holidays, we're supposed to ach sameach. Don't get carried away. Don't go overboard. The Sfat Emet, great Hasidic master, says ach v'rak is lashon miut. So ach there is coming to lima'et. Holilut v'sichlut, you know, silliness, lightheadedness, levity, frivolity. That's a Hasidic master telling you not to go overboard, right? In any case, so he went overboard. V'to'en, look where I've underlined next. V'to'en ha-mazik, shemechar shebershut ha-rabim haya, shekol ha-olam rishayin lalechet bo, eno chayav l'shalem, shayalo lishmor atzmo. And the one who did the damage, the one who raced his horse, and this, the implication is he was going too fast and he crashed into the chatan's mule or donkey. He argued that what? This is the Rishut Rabim. This is the public thoroughfare. I'm driving in the street and it's up to you, right? To be careful, to watch out, right? He said that he should be exempt from having to pay because it's up to the person in the street to watch out. This is the public thoroughfare. It would be like a person driving a car and speeding. That's the implication here. And that's the way Rav Avadia understands this tshuva, or I should say applies this tshuva to our situation, our contemporary situation. But you're speeding and there's, you know, chas v'shalom, you know, I don't want to say a little boy running into the road, chas v'shalom, you know, let's say a car, a parked car, or another car, another vehicle, okay? And you do damage to the property. We won't say do damage to the person. Do damage to the property, right? So in this tshuva, the individual speeding is arguing, well, this is a public street and I'm allowed to drive down this street and therefore I should be exempt, okay? However, no, that's not how the Rush rules. Take a look where I've underlined next. Tshuva, here's the answer. Masha to'ena mazik shu patur. Says that's not
That's not a good answer. That's not a good reason to argue that just because of the Rishus HaRabim, you could drive quickly, you could race your horse. She'en lo larutz b'Rishus HaRabim, because you're not allowed to run or to race your horse, right? To fly in the public thoroughfare. You have to observe, let's say, our contemporary situation, observe traffic laws and speed limits. Afilo adam b'raglav, ela kidei she'chol la'mod kishirtse. Kitita b'babakama. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda omer ratz chayav mipnei shu mishaneh upasak Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Isi ben Yehuda. He says that no. The Maran Bava Kama deals with the question of a person running and causing damage, and the Gemara there says we follow the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda. And what does Isi ben Yehuda say? Isi ben Yehuda says that the one who's running ratz chayav mipnei shu mishaneh. The one who's running, right, he is obligated to pay. You're running and you do damage to property or person. You have to pay the one who's running because that is not accepted behavior. It's mishune. It's unusual to behave such a way in the public domain. People don't run. It's like, you know, how many times have you been knocked over? Someone's running to try to make a bus here in Jerusalem, right? That's not the way you're supposed to walk. So, and the Gemara there says that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Isi ben Yehuda. That's the halacha. That if someone runs and they do damage to person or property, the one who's running is obligated to pay because that's not normal behavior. That's mishuneh. However, there is an exception to the rule, right? The Gemara there that says that even Isi ben Yehuda agrees that if it's be'erev Shabbat bein hashmashot, he's patur mipnei sheratz b'rishut. If it's erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos, right? It's almost Shabbos. In that case, it's permitted to run. So in that case, you'd be exempt. The implication is you're running to do a mitzvah in that case. And there's a whole discussion. What if you do damage to person or property while you're in the middle of performing a mitzvah? Or you're on your way to perform a mitzvah. But in this case, it's permitted. Even Isi ben Yehuda would say it's permitted to run Erev Shabbos. We're all running around Erev Shabbos like a chicken without a head. Nachon? Okay. But the halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda. And so the Rosh says, that's not a valid argument. That's not an excuse. Kol shekein, all the more so the Rush says, harochev al asus, she'en lo reshut larutz b'makom shebnei adam rochvin, shema lo yuchal la'amod kishir tse. Uposheyahu. The Rush says, all the more so, if we're talking about riding on a horse, you can't speed, you can't run, you might not be able to stop in time. Okay? And he calls the individual a posheya. He's a sinner. He's liable, okay? He's negligent in this case. And Rav Avadia there cites this tshuva and writes that a driver is obligated to take great caution beyond just observing the traffic law. So you see from this tshuva, the Rush says, you're not allowed to speed with your horse. You can, chas v'shalom, do damage to person or property. You might not be able to stop the horse in time. I would say kal v'chomer nowadays with a car. I mean, a car is a weapon, unfortunately, in the wrong hands. Rav Avadia also cites a tshuva of the Radbaz, where the Radbaz rules that if one runs with a weapon in his hand and injures another, he's liable as if it was done b'mezid. And he doesn't go to an ir miklat, because an ir miklat only provides atonement in a case of negligence, where maybe there's a little bit of negligence there, but you're not really responsible. If you're running with a weapon in your hand, then that's more akin to mezid. And if you take a look here at the Rambam in Hilchot Rotseach, Perek Vav Halacha Dalet, the Rambam rules the following. And this is again what we just mentioned, that in Ir Miklat, the city of refuge, is only for someone who, yes, maybe there is an element of negligence, but you know, the degree of negligence is minimal. Look what the Rambam writes. V'yesh horeg bishkaga, v'tiyah shkaga krova lezadon. If someone kills another accidentally, but it's krova lezadon, it's close to what? Intentional. Again, like this case of the Radbaz, and the Radbaz writes this tshuva based on this Rambam here. You're running without the intent to murder, but you're running with a weapon in your hand. So the Rambam continues and writes, "V'hu sheyeh b'davar kimopshia." It's like you're guilty. The individual bears some guilt. There are degrees to negligence, correct? Oh, Shahiyah lo lizaer, velo nizhar, or he should have been careful, the Rambam writes, if he was not careful. V'dino she'eno gole. In such a case, the din is that he is not exiled to one of the Arei Miklat. Mipnei she'avono chamur, ein galut mechaperet lo. Since his sin or his negligence is chamur, it's serious, it's severe, and not just a little negligence. But he was very negligent. So in that case, ein galut mechaperet lo. Going into exile does not provide atonement for him. The ein arei miklat kol tototo. And he's not sent to an ir miklat. One of the cities of refuge does not protect him. He can't seek refuge there. She'inan kol tot elaham mechuyav galut bilvad. For a city of refuge can only protect one who is obligated in going into exile. And this is something that's discussed at length in the Gemara in Makot and elsewhere by Chazal. Lefichach, the Rambam concludes, therefore, im matzu goel hadam v'chol makom v'hargo patur. In such a case, if the goel hadam, one of the relatives of the deceased, due to this individual's pshia, if he finds him, he can kill him and he's not held responsible. And this individual wouldn't even be protected by the Ir Miklat. Here he's trying to seek refuge. He runs through the gates of the Ir Miklat. Okay? And somehow the Goel Adam follows him into the Ir Miklat and kills him there. The Goel Adam is exempt, the Rambam rules, because this individual is not Chayav in Galut. He doesn't get protection from the Ir Miklat in such a case. And Rav Avadia there, in this Kuntras, adds that all the more so, again, you have to be so careful when driving and following the speed limit and obeying traffic laws. As, and I'm quoting what he writes there, he writes, a vehicle is the deadliest weapon. So he cites this Tshuva of the Rush that we saw, and this Tshuva of the Radbaz based on this halacha in the Rambam, Hilchot Rotzeach. And Rav Avadia shares how he personally once witnessed a driver speeding and asked the driver why he was speeding. Now, I don't know where this story took place. He doesn't record it, but most likely it could have been in Har Nof. Rav Avadia lived there for many years. That's where his Beit Midrash was. I had the privilege of sitting at the dust of his feet and drinking with thirst, drinking up his words with thirst. And Rav Avadia asked the individual, sees him speeding, you know, maybe it was on Rehov HaKablan or, you know, Rehov Agassi. You know, he lived on HaKablan. His shul was on Agassi, and the other side opens up to Katzenellenbogen. You see the way people drive. I'm, you know, driving to shul. I live at the bottom of Har Nof. Just driving to my shul on Rehov Agassi. I mean, you know, it's mamish. It's pekuach nefesh, right? So Rav Avadia asked him, you know, where are you going? And the individual responded, no, I'm going to daven. I'm late to shul. Oh, I'm late to shul, right? So, and the driver even had the chutzpah to invoke the statement of Chazal that say, you know, someone who's involved in a mitzvah, right? He is free from damage, right? Someone who's involved in a mitzvah, right? A shliach mitzvah, eino nizokin, doesn't get hurt. And Rav Avadia said that no, you are incorrect. Our sages call such an individual a chassid shote. And again, this is what he writes in this kuntris that appears at the back of his newly published seventh volume of Yechaveh Da'at, where it includes all of these different essays and statements he made about road safety and tshuvot, collects all the things he wrote and spoke about over the years on the topic. In another letter, Rav Avadia cites different areas of halacha where you see that Chazal made a fence around the Torah to prevent injury. For instance, making fences around one's roof, or when digging a pit and not raising wild, dangerous dogs, okay, or leaving a shaky ladder around. And Rav Avadia calls on drivers. This is interesting. In this letter, he wrote this letter before the winter and called on drivers to have their cars inspected in advance of winter to ensure their safety. You know, make sure your tires are good in inclement weather. Not just once a year when you have to go for your test, right? And wait on a long line. In another letter, which he wrote during the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva, now this is interesting, just to think about and consider for a moment, what was on Rav Avadia's mind during the Aseret Yemei HaTshuva? What message did he want to get across to his flock, you know, on these days when we're all making a cheshbon nefesh and doing tshuva? So he calls on every Jew to do a cheshbon nefesh, and singles out drivers and tells them to be careful, and they're, you know, chas v'shalom, they could endanger their own lives and the lives of others, etc. So in several of these letters, Rav Avadia, again, stresses just how precious life is and invokes the Mishnah here towards the bottom of the page, source number 8, Mishnah from the fourth parak of Masechet Sanhedrin. Kol ha'ma'abed nefesh echad Yisrael. It's a famous Mishnah, famous statement of Chazal. All who destroy even one soul, it's as if he destroyed the entire world. And all who save even one soul, it's as if he saved the entire world. Okay? So, very, very famous Mishnah. And again, in many letters and articles, to me, it's so fascinating that Rav Avadia felt this was so important, but he stresses the importance of road safety and etiquette. And he's very harsh. He doesn't mince any words. And I was thinking about it. It's interesting. Someone who has a degree of negligence and has to exile himself and has to go into one of the Arei Miklat. Arei Miklat, by the way, it's not only for the protection of the one who killed accidentally from the Goel Hadam, from the family member who couldn't kill him. But it actually is there as, let's call it a halfway house or some sort of rehabilitation center where the individual is going into galut, he's going into exile and is going through a period of atonement, of kapara. But you see the way the Chachamim talk about it, it's in a sense a punishment for the individual, or at least a place where he's supposed to think about his actions and the consequences of his actions and how his actions cost lives, right? Cost human life. And I was thinking about it. It's interesting. When does the individual go free from the Ir Miklat? It's with the death of the Kohen Gadol. It's with the death of the Kohen Gadol, right? Interesting. So, and even, by the way, the Mishnah records how the mothers of the Kohen Gadol would give gifts to the residents of the Arei Miklat so they not pray for the death of their son. Imagine, ad kidei kach. You can imagine, you know, these women baking cookies and sewing clothes, whatever, and giving gifts to the inhabitants of the Arei Miklat so they not pray that their son, the Kohen Gadol, you know, falls off a cliff or something, dies when he's, you know, falls off a cliff maybe when he's trying to do the Avodah of the Yom Kippur, you know, Avodah Yom Kippurim. But in any case, why? Why is the Ir Miklat associated with the death of the Kohen Gadol? Why does the individual go free when the Kohen Gadol dies? You know, Mahakesher, what's the connection? So perhaps the Kohen Gadol, as spiritual leader of the Jewish people, should have done more. Maybe should have done more in terms of praying that things like this not happen, or in terms of teaching his flock, the Jewish people, about how precious life is and how careful one must be. Okay. And I was thinking that maybe that's why Rav Avadia Yosef, you know, wrote so many tshuvot and articles and statements on this topic. Ad kedei kach, they collected into this whole kuntres published in the latest volume of Yechavedat. Maybe as Kohen Gadol Meichav, so to speak, he wasn't a Kohen, but as spiritual leader of the Jewish people, he too understood the tremendous responsibility that a leader of the Jewish people has in terms of teaching how precious life is. We live in a world full of distractions with so many things vying for our attention. But if we take pause and reflect on just how precious life is and how fragile life is, maybe we'll be a little more careful on the roads. And as we saw this morning, the Torah certainly requires us to do so. Okay, so I'll end and say sa bizihirut. Yes. Question? Comment? No? Okay, yes. It's not just ex-soldiers. It's, you know, it's every year during the summer break, you have yeshiva students who get lost on some teul and didn't bring water with them or suffer heat exhaustion or get lost or go to places where they're not supposed to go and get themselves into trouble. And then the army has to come and save them and get them out or look for them, or people drown. Absolutely. Our topic this morning is road safety in light of what happened in the past few weeks on roads here in the state of Israel. But certainly these concepts and principles apply to all sorts of things. However, you have to evaluate, is this something that is deemed safe? Meaning, it's a danger to cross the street. It's a danger to get up in the morning and leave your house and walk across the street. You are assuming some risk. What percent or what element of risk is a Jew allowed to assume? That's the question. So if you do some crazy trek or whatever that is considered dangerous, you go into the desert without any water, or you climb a mountain that you're not supposed to climb, whatever it is, if you're unprepared, don't have the supplies, or you are going to a place where it's deemed by everyone unsafe. So that obviously is unsafe. But where do you draw the line? So Chazal in a number of places have a principle. Kevan didashu be'rabim, shomer p'tayim Hashem. Since people go down that path, if it's something that society deems acceptable and for the most part safe, even though there's always a risk, again, even walking across the street or getting into a car is a risk. But since it's something that society deems to be safe behavior, we invoke the pasuk, shomer p'tayim Hashem, that Hashem protects the small-minded, however you want to translate the taim, the foolish, okay? Hashem protects us. If it's behavior that's considered risky behavior or unsafe behavior, right? So then, of course, now, can you go skiing, right? Can you go skiing? So skiing, I once heard that Rev Willig from YU Paskin, you can't go skiing because there's so many accidents. And there are even deaths, you know. Who was it? I think it was Sonny Bono, famous singer, actor Sonny Bono, a number of years ago. I think he died in a skiing accident. People die while skiing. Everyone, what do you mean? Everyone goes skiing, right? So I don't know. I don't know if everyone would agree with Rev Willig, because skiing, I think, is something that for the most part is considered safe. Of course, there's a risk involved and people do get hurt, and maybe even sometimes people get killed, but I don't know that society deems skiing to be unsafe. Even crazy things like bungee jumping, you know, people, you know, jump off a cliff or whatever attached to some cord. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not Paskini here, but it's crazy to me, you know. I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I'm not a thrill seeker personally. I'm afraid of heights. I can't go on roller coasters with my kids. But, you know, I'm sure there are people who are injured, but it's not something that, you know, the insurance companies will insure the amusement parks who offer this thing, meaning it's deemed by society to be, yes, there's maybe a relatively small degree of risk or percent of risk, but it's not considered risky behavior. Okay? Anything we do in life has an element of risk. But Kevin Hadashu Be'rabim, the klal is that if it's something that society deems acceptable, if it's a path that most people walk down, then we trust in Hashem. There's always an element of danger, always an element of risk. Again, even getting up in the morning and crossing the street, okay? A lot of accidents happen in the home, so maybe you shouldn't even get out of bed, right? Okay? But that's not how we're supposed to live. You know, we're supposed to live life. The Torah wants us to live life. We just have to be careful. So that means avoiding things that are unsafe, that are risky. And there are many examples. This morning we just talked about road safety and etiquette, but there are many examples. But certainly the Torah requires us to drive carefully and respectfully and safely. And you see, it's not just, you know, something that traffic laws or whatever. It's not. It's halacha. It's Jewish law. It's something that the Torah requires. And it's something that Rav Avadia took very, very seriously. Rav Avadia took it very seriously. Okay. We'll see you all Be'ezrat Hashem next Wednesday.